this morning. It's great to have you here. I know some of you are traveling. I know of others that are traveling. Maybe you'll be on the road this week, and so we'll be praying for you. Some of you may have some family members coming up as well. We'll be praying for safety for all of those. But I need to say I love this time of the year. Not only is it hunting season, but it's a time to connect with family members and with friends that we haven't seen in a long time. And I can remember growing up, one of the traditions that we had in our house was whenever we would have Thanksgiving, we'd have the whole family come over. And we would have a time where we would share about some of the blessings in our life. And a lot of times, maybe you have a tradition similar to what we did. A lot of times, some of those things that were mentioned were family members. There would be those who'd say, I'm thankful for my spouse, I'm thankful for my friends, for my family. There'd be those who would say, I'm thankful for football. And some of you are thankful for the Packers this morning. Others of you are thankful for the Lions. And if you were in this category, you were thankful for food. And that was certainly some of those things that were mentioned. But I think at times we can forget the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ as well. I'm thankful this morning that I am not the only believer in Bark River, but that there is a body right here in our town. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, the power of sin was done away with in my life. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I'm still a sinner, and I still mess up. But I don't need to live for sin anymore. It was said that it is one thing for sin to live in us. It is another for us to live in sin. I'm thankful for eternity, the fact that after I pass from this life, I have an eternity with Jesus Christ awaiting me. And I got to tell you, I'm very thankful for that when I look at the world and what is going on. I'm thankful that we have a promise in Scripture that Jesus Christ is coming for His church at any moment, and it could be today. It might be at that praise service. We'll be with our Savior in glory. It could be that. Let's open up in a word of prayer before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for those things that You have placed in our life, family. You've placed football in our life, entertainment, and food as well, Lord. We thank You for all of that. We thank You that we have health this morning. We're grateful that we can see, that we can talk, that we can hear, that we can walk, Lord. We have every reason to praise You. Lord, I just thank You that You have given us more than that. You've given us a future home. You've given us so much in Christ. We can't even comprehend all that we have in You. Lord, that's an amazing thing, and so we thank You for that. And we ask, Lord, that in our time together this morning, You would be lifted up. We pray as we look at Your Word, Lord, You might speak to our hearts about where we're at. Father, it can be so easy to forget to thank You throughout the day, throughout the week. Father, may we be challenged this morning to cultivate that attitude of gratitude in our lives. In Your name I pray, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 1 for a moment. To Romans chapter 1. I want to look at a few examples in the Scriptures before we get to Luke. That'll be our main passage this morning. But as we look at the spectrum, there are those who really struggle to cultivate an attitude of gratitude in their lives. It has been said, and an unthankful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sin. If you have your Bibles open to Romans chapter 1, verse 20, you'll note with me it says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Through creation, God has given us the knowledge of Himself." But I want us to notice something in verse 21. It says, "For even though they knew God, They did not honor him as God. And notice this part, it says, or give thanks. And there is this kind of this downward spiral after that, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Don't forget that. An unthankful heart is fertile soil for all kinds of sin. We see an example of that in Romans chapter 1, verse 21. But then we can see other examples on the other end of the spectrum, those who really did cultivate an attitude of gratitude in their lives. And my mind goes to the Apostle Paul. Now, you don't need to turn to the book of Philippians, but that book, the theme in Philippians, one of the main themes is this theme of joy. This theme of joy. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And when did he write that letter? He wrote it while he was in prison, while he was in chains. The Apostle Paul understood that his circumstances, those things that he experienced in life, and he experienced a lot of suffering, he experienced mistreatment. But he knew that those things should never determine his attitude before the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I want to take our time this morning to Luke chapter 17. So please turn with me there. If you're familiar with this account in Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. There are two instances in the scriptures where Jesus heals those with leprosy. He heals one leper in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In fact, in Luke chapter 5, we have that healing of one leper. But we're going to see the second instance where Jesus heals again those who were leprous. So let us pick it up in verse 11. It says, while he, Jesus, was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. Now, Galilee was north of Samaria and Jerusalem was south of Samaria. And so Jesus found himself somewhere in between Galilee and Samaria on his way south to Jerusalem. And something happens on his way to this village. We are going to see those who forget to thank God, who are on this end of the spectrum. But we're going to see one today, and I want to focus in on that one this morning in our time together, who responded the right way to the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Let's look at some responses of this one in this passage together. Very first response that we see here is that he was aware of his calamity. Read with me, please, verses 12 and 13. It says, as he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, what sticks out to me in this passage is that these 10 leprous men, they knew of Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew that he had the power to heal disease and sickness and those with physical infirmities. And yet it says here that they did not run up to his feet, but that they stood at a distance. I think that's interesting. Well, in order to understand why it was that they stood at a distance, we have to look at this condition that they had. Notice with me what it says in verse 12. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men. We have to understand what leprosy is. Leprosy is an infectious skin disease that causes severe disfigurement. One source had this to say about leprosy. From the skin, the disease eats inward to the bones, rotting the whole body. And if you look at the scriptures and you look at leprosy in the scriptures, what you'll find is that those who had leprosy were oftentimes banned from society, were banned from serving in the Levitical service. And at times it was seen as really a punishment from God. Leprosy, I was surprised to find out, is still around today. It's not very common. It's treatable. But at this time, it was an awful, horrible disease. This was a terrible, progressive death in which a man died by inches. A normal social life was absent from one who suffered from this disease. Instead of having the luxury of going up to somebody and meeting them and shaking their hand and saying, hi, how are you? When somebody came up to them, they would have to lift their hand up to them and say, unclean, unclean, please move by me. And as I was looking at this skin disease, this infirmity, I couldn't help but think how lonely this disease would have been to have had. You're not able to spend time with your family members, with your friends, with your loved ones. These men knew full well their situation. They knew full well their calamity. And so they saw Jesus coming in. They stood at a distance because of this disease. It says in verse 13, and they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They raised their voices because they wanted to be heard by Jesus. They wanted him to know of their calamity. When I wake up in the morning, I don't know, maybe you'll be able to relate with me on this. Maybe not. But I'm the kind of person that I'm at my best once I wake up in the morning. I'm ready to go. I can read. I can study. It's kind of weird, I know. But in the evening, I'm really not at my best. But one of the joys of waking up early in the morning is that I get to watch my kids wake up. I've got three kids. My youngest son sometimes will be the first one to wake up, and he'll slowly wake up out of bed, and he'll start kicking the wall, and he'll start making some noises. Other times, he'll start screaming, and I know he wants me to go in there, and he wants me to pick him up. And on those days, I know he's desperate for my immediate response. Well, that's really the response that we see right here on the part of these lepers when they see Jesus coming into their village. Notice what it says here in the text. They say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I don't want us to miss this because they call him by name. They say Jesus, but then they say Master. And that Greek word Master is epistates, which means chief or commander. And so when they say Master, they are recognizing that Jesus Christ has the power to heal them, that he has the power over disease and over sickness. That's an amazing thing. Jesus Christ was a man, yes, in 1 John 1:1. John writes, what was from the beginning, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He was fully man. Jesus Christ was fully man. But then they said, Master, not everyone has the power to control disease and sickness. And what shall we expect? Jesus Christ not only was fully man, but fully God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. It tells us, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A righteous scepter is a scepter of his kingdom. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, we see the deity of Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They understood that Jesus Christ could heal them because he was God. The second response that we have from this one leper, he knew full well his calamity. He said, Master, have mercy on us. He was in that group. We see the second response. He was aware of his circumstances in verses 14 through 16. He was aware of his circumstances. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they were going, they were cleansed. Now, one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. When Jesus saw them, he saw their great need. He saw that they needed to be saved from this physical disease. I want us to look at the order of how Jesus heals these lepers and in this passage versus the one in chapter 5. Turn with me there just for a moment. Keep your hand here in chapter 17. In Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, we're going to see this first account where Jesus heals not many, but one leper. It says this, while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. He healed him first and then sent him on to the priest. It says, and immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But in our account, Luke chapter 17, he heals them right before they go to the priest. And I want us to notice something right here in the text. There is a transition that takes place. He understood his circumstances. There is a transition in what is used between verses 13 and 14 and then in verses 15 and 16. In verse 13, it says, "And they raised their voices. We're referring to the many lepers. And then again, it says, when they say, "Jesus, Master," they say, "Have mercy on us." We see that plurality there. There is this reference to all of them. Verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them. And again, at the end of verse 14, "And as they were going, they were cleansed." But then we have something very beautiful right here in verse 15. I'm glad that all of them did not forget. There was one. And it says this, verse 15. "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan." There is this transition that takes place. And so we recognize this one. He understood his circumstance. He understood that he had this awful, horrible disease and that he had been cured by this disease. I see a wonderful illustration this morning. Leprosy is a physical disease, but sin is a spiritual disease. And you say, "Well, Pastor Wes, who has sin? Who is a sinner?" Romans chapter 3, verse 23 answers that question. "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. "All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." And so we have holy God, righteous, perfect, and mankind over here, sinful, depraved. And then you have sin right here, a barrier between holy, perfect God and sinful man. And for these lepers, when they saw Jesus Christ, they knew that they were completely helpless to save themselves from their situation. So they looked to the Lord. Friends, we are completely helpless in and of ourselves to make ourselves right with holy God because of our sin. That barrier is too big. And there are many people who believe that they can cross over that barrier through religion. They can cross over that barrier through works, whatever those works might look like. But God's word says something different. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him," not works, "will not perish but have eternal life." I do not believe anyone here this morning has leprosy. I don't believe it. I went online. I found that on a CDC report from 1994 to 2011, there were just 2,300 new cases of leprosy diagnosed in the United States, which was surprising to me. But one thing that I am confident in this morning is that we have all missed the mark of perfection that God requires. There is a beautiful picture that we see right here in this passage. This man understood his circumstances. And notice with me what these lepers said in verse 13. And they raised their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They said to Jesus, "Have mercy on us." But what they had received was grace. They received something they did not deserve from God. They received physical healing. What a blessing. What a joy. And we have been blessed this morning. We, for those of us who have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, have received that free gift of God's
grace.
And so we say, praise God. Are we aware of our circumstances this morning? If we are, of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, we won't be able to contain the amount of joy that we have inside of our hearts for what Christ has done for us. We were deserving of hell. We were deserving of God's wrath, but Jesus Christ took that sin upon himself. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. On who? On Jesus. He has given us more than we could have ever asked for. God's grace extends out to anyone who will but receive it. The third response that we see right here in this passage is in verses 17 through 19. This leper that was healed, who came back to Jesus, was aware of his convictions, verses 17 through 19. It says, then Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? Was no one found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to them, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. And I think that this last passage really speaks to the reality of the human heart. How easy is it to forget about what God has done in our lives? Maybe you came to faith in Christ a long time ago. How easy can it be to forget about those blessings, those spiritual blessings that we have in Him? Wiersbe said something. He said, out of all these lepers, they should have formed an impromptu men's chorus and sung Psalm 103 together. I think that's what we should have seen here. Instead, we have just this one. The reality was, out of all 10, one came back to thank Jesus Christ. There is a picture here as well in this passage. If you'll remember with me, the Old Testament closes with the unfulfilled, unconditional promises that God made to the nation of Israel. Those promises concerning Israel were that Israel would possess land, that Israel would have a king who would sit on the throne of David, that Israel would have that Israel would be delivered from its enemies, that Israel would have possession over a future kingdom that would be characterized by peace and righteousness. And all those things were put on hold. Until we come to the Gospels, we see Jesus Christ, God, fully man, coming here into this world. All of those promises made to the nation of Israel are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But notice with me what happens here. The 9 lepers who turn away, who forget, were Jewish. This is a picture that shows us that the nation of Israel had rejected her Savior. Turn with me to Acts for a moment. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 23. Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, the one who was promised to them. They put him to death. That's what is mentioned here in verses 22 through 24. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross and by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. Though the nation of Israel put their Messiah to death under the complete will of God, he allowed it that would take place. There is now this period of time known as the church age or the age of grace, in which we can come to God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is a tremendous blessing. And I love what Jesus says to this one. Notice with me, he's not Jewish, he's Samaritan, verse 16. Again, Jesus says to him in verse 18, was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this what? This foreigner. He says this. Jesus says to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. I believe that this man is in heaven. Not only was he healed a first time of his physical disease, but he was healed of that sin problem in his life because he came to God on the basis of faith. That is a tremendous thing to think about this morning. So as we close in our time together, I've got a few thoughts for us. As Thanksgiving comes up this week, let us remember that it can be easy to forget about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. It can become so easy to kind of put that aside, to get caught up in the buzz of what's going on. I want to encourage us to be those who are cultivating and continually cultivating an attitude of gratitude. For these lepers who were healed, are any one of them alive today? No. They received a great blessing. Wouldn't you agree? They were lepers. They received a tremendous blessing. But that blessing of physical healing was temporary. It is not eternal. I want us to turn our attention to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 8, to close in our time together. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I believe, no matter what our circumstances are this morning, no matter what we are going on, what is going on in our lives, we can always be giving God praise. I love what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 8 of chapter 3. This just ministers to my heart. He says, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. We are blessed this morning because of what He has done for us. And maybe it is that you've stepped in here this morning and you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want you to know this morning that today is the day for salvation. Right now, right in your pew, you can place your faith in Him. And Scripture says you'll be forgiven of your sin. Our salvation is not contingent upon what we do. It is contingent upon the work of Christ, which was fulfilled on the cross at Calvary. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning for who You are. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Christ on that cross. We're thankful for the spiritual blessings that are ours in Him. Lord, this is a great time of the year, but help us not to forget that it's not just about family and food and football, but that it is about You, that it is about what You have done and about the blessings that You give to us each day, each moment. Help us to see those. Father, I just pray that for all of us this morning, You would help us just to be reminded to give You praise, not to forget about those blessings that are ours in Him. In Your name we pray. Amen. You be dismissed.